And we are live. Hello and welcome to another podcast, the Boost VC podcast. Together in our conversation with our incredible guests, we'll dig into the latest topics around venture capital, startups, emerging technology. I'm your host, Adam Draper, founder and managing director of Boost VC and fourth generation venture capitalist. Today we're joined by Lamar Wilson, the founder and head of Vision and Decision at Fluent. He's a full stack developer, expert blockchain architect, father, husband. He's been creating enterprise software for almost a decade with a recent focus on financial and blockchain technology, a serial entrepreneur. He co-founded the software development firm 212ths and created Fiva, a mobile Bitcoin wallet, which is where we met originally. And most recently, Lamar founded Fluent. Okay, so actually, Lamar, I'm going to first say my story of meeting Lamar, and then we'll get into it. So Lamar, literally, so first off, he's like a, you know, Bitcoin blockchain leader in the space. And Lamar literally showed up at every single event. He's from Kentucky, and he showed up at every event in the Silicon Valley focused around blockchain or Bitcoin for like 6 months. And I was like, who is this guy? And he kept talking to me, which was great, obviously. I've always talked to people. And eventually, we just started a friendly dialogue, and I realized how incredibly serious he was about changing like the financial infrastructure of the world. And so I eventually, you're going to get to hear his melodious voice in a second, but I just wanted to say, like, he hustled his way into Boost VC. So that is what I wanted to start off with.
Yeah.
Welcome, Lamar.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Adam? Great. Yeah. Great talking to you again.
Okay, great. Okay, what's your Bitcoin story? Let's start there. Why?
Okay.
Where?
Well, it basically started. We were my business partner, Leif Taylor, and I were pitching a whole different company to a VC out in the Valley, and during the conversation, he asked us had we heard of Bitcoin, and I was like, "Big coin?" I thought he was talking about big, B-I-G coin. So I was thinking to myself, like, "What the heck is Bitcoin?" So Leif and I, we leave that meeting. Leif's like, Bitcoin? What the heck is Bitcoin? So he looks it up and finds out it's Bitcoin. But at the time, it's like any other entrepreneur, your head down, focused on what you're building. And we kind of push it to the side like, oh, it's Bitcoin. It's just some kind of wild thing. We're not going to pay attention to it. Well, then the price spiked on Mt. Gox and got a lot of news about it. And so what we did was I saw it again. I was like, Leif, that Bitcoin thing came up again. And I went and actually looked at the white paper. And after reading the white paper, man, it was amazing. Like, I literally went down the rabbit hole like everybody else does. I read that white paper. I was like, I have to figure out what I can do with this technology because I see it. And to me, I see it as pure freedom. Anybody that knows me knows I'm about love and freedom. And Bitcoin to me was just pure freedom. And
open so, freedom currency.
Yes. That's it, man. Yeah. So that's pretty much how I got into it. And that whole, like, for the next 3 or 4 months, I started studying it, understanding how the cryptography worked and all of that stuff. So,
and that's pretty much okay. So now that, like, blockchain and Bitcoin have been gaining traction, you know, financial institutions are all thinking about adopting it, experimenting with it in one way or another, which we can get into a little later as well. What is your vision for how blockchain technology is going to evolve over the next 10 years?
So I really think that there will be a place for private and public blockchains. Same way some companies still have intranets and the same way the internet and intranet still exist. I think there'll be opportunities for both. I think for it to really work, I talk about practicality. I really think that for blockchains to work, people have to find out how to solve real practical problems and have practical solutions to solve those problems using blockchains. Because I think a lot of people are theorizing things and, you know, we all like to nerd out. Being at Boost, you know, we always are nerding out on the wall, doing crazy stuff, trying to think of new things. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a problem that you can actually solve with the technology, I mean, what's the point? I think in the future, people will keep doing that.
So for our people who might be listening, by the way, this is our second release podcast, and we had a 1,500% increase in listeners from last week, which was zero, to this week, which was it wasn't zero. We had just started. We launched it, but it was 1,500% increase. We have like 110 listeners. So 2,500 minutes of like time have been spent listening to my voice. So for all of our non-technical listeners who have spent time listening to our voices, can you explain very simply Bitcoin and the blockchain? And
gosh, man. So usually I say it's a distributed source of data. I'm trying to get it for people who are not that is basically a single source of truth for all entities involved. It utilizes cryptography to solidify an append only type of database. I guess that's, I don't even know if that was even layman enough. So,
you are such an engineer. Like that was like the ultimate engineer answer. Okay, so this is what I say. This is what I say. Like, okay, it does one thing. That's first what I say. So that like immediately everyone's like, oh, okay, like maybe that's tangible. Maybe I can understand that. All right. It replaces third-party trust with mathematical proof that something happened. And then I normally follow it up with an example. So I say, like, you know, you trust that your bank has added up all the ledgers in the world that they're managing and then delivered you your bank account number. Like you are trusting your bank that they are adding up those numbers correctly. And instead of that, this is a protocol that completely adds it up by itself, and you don't need to trust some bank or some middleman or some, and it doesn't only need to be for currency. So I thought, hey, our listeners might want to learn something about Bitcoin or blockchain. I don't know. Well, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Our hundreds of listeners.
That's pretty good, though, Adam. That's pretty good.
Okay. So next time you're in the situation, use that. It makes it much more simple. Okay. How do you believe that Fluent will be revolutionizing the banking and financial industries?
Well, we are very.
What does Fluent do? First, what does Fluent do? So that people. Oh, yeah.
Fluent. So Fluent is an application that allows companies, buyers, to extend their days payable outstanding. Now I'm going to get into financial nerd stuff. and shorten day sales outstanding. So it basically extends the ability for a company that normally would pay in 60 days to be able to pay in 90 days. And then that the person that's paying doesn't have to wait the 90 days, because what we do is bring in third party funders. And we use the blockchain to tie all of that information together so that you can move information and money on the same chain. That hasn't really been done in that space. It's called supply chain finance. We are completely focused on the financial supply chain. And the way we'll revolutionize it, we'll revolutionize the supply chain finance departments in all of these banks, because that's exactly what we're focused on. We're not trying to take over the full bank. We're not trying to create the pipes for the bank to work on forever. What we're doing right now is literally focusing on a very succinct problem. That is being able to extend days payable outstanding and shorten days sales outstanding for suppliers.
And it's a real use case. You're using it for a real use. It's not about, hey, like, you know, magic. We're going to sprinkle the blockchain. You are supply chain financing. You are literally solving a very. You're reducing the time it takes for people to get paid in a specific vertical, right?
Right. And it's and the thing is, there are plenty of companies out there that do it. But that's one of the things I always say. If you want to use a blockchain, make sure that there is a network involved. If it's a private chain that you're just using in-house and you're not allowing other people outside to get in, there's no freaking reason to use a blockchain. If you are needing third parties to all work together and everyone have a single source of truth so that trading and settlement and all of that stuff happens a lot faster, then use a blockchain every time. And I think those are the types of problems that are solved by bringing a blockchain to a situation where you have all of these entities that have to trust one another, but also need to just show, you know, settle money and information as fast as they possibly can. So that's what we do. We just literally use that technology. We talked to the people, found out what the problem was, and then took the technology and put it as a problem instead of figuring out a solution for no problem. And that tends to be what's been happening a lot lately.
So what are the obstacles that the blockchain has to overcome, in your opinion, in order to get sort of that mass adoption, in order for like most people to understand what it is?
People, number one, people just got to stop fighting. Like, can't we all just get along? I mean, seriously, man.
All about love and trust and
it got, open. And I, I mean, truthfully, the way, and to be honest, and it might sound very ideological for me to say, idealistic for me to say this, but you really do have to come from a place of love, man, if you want people to get to mass adopt it. I always have this analogy about the freaking dwarfs in Lord of the Rings. And it feels like the Bitcoin space is that right now. It's like, here we are, all of us guys, we understand Bitcoin, but what we've done is we've taken our gold and we've hoarded it up in the mountain. Now, and when we hoard it up around the mountain, every single person who's down outside, like that's in the who's down in the valley, who's down in the lake town, they don't give a crap about our gold in the mountain, because guess what? We haven't shared it with them. We hold it up in the mountain. Now we've allowed the dragon to come in and take it over, like the government. They want to put regulation on it. We allowed them to come in and take over this gold that we've hoarded up in the mountain. And now all of a sudden, all people, they like, we don't really need it. What do we need it for? It's been in the mountain all this time. We've been trading shekels and silver and fish or whatever else. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what we've gotten into. And I think the only way you're going to get out of that is for people to actually subsidize the learning and use of Bitcoin by spreading it the way AOL did. AOL got the internet popping because they started sending a disc to my mom every freaking week. And we had 8 discs before she put the first one in.
It was a good deal. We had like every week, there were just hundreds of these AOL discs at my, like, they would stack up and, you know, you start throwing them everywhere. It was the best marketing campaign I've ever seen. So right. We have to figure, what is our AOL disc for the blockchain space? What is that?
The AOL disc is, listen, here's the thing. I think the biggest issue is we have tons of people who are hoarding it, right? Who are holding on to it, which is fine. I understand you. It's an economic thing. But if you want it to be widespread, you have to share it with people. Like AOL basically did the internet a favor by sending these discs that not only gave you a connection to the internet, but also had applications that allowed you to use it. So, I mean, when you can get a message from somebody who's up the street from you because they put their AOL disc in as well, you're like, oh, I get it. That's what makes this thing better. People right now don't even know why Bitcoin is better, right?
You're saying we need the AIM chat of the blockchain.
We need something that not only the AIM chat, you first have to get people into the network. So they have to have a few Bitcoin, right? They have to
get them in the network. Once there are more nodes on the network, then you see the value immediately.
But they
get the payment.
There needs to be an app that we send to people that is like AOL used to have a store. Remember, they used to have a store, chat, and email all in this one little app that on this disc.
What happened to AOL?
They did a good job of bootstrapping. They didn't do a good job after it. I'm just saying.
They went through so many phases. I mean, it just changed so much. Now it's a media company. Like, they used to be technology.
Right. But that's.
Yeah. Okay. So outside of finances, where do you think the blockchain is going to impact things?
I think in third world countries, where they don't have great land registries, I think I love blockchain for real estate. I really do. I think when you can trust something outside of your corrupt government to say this is the land that we own and everyone can look at it and there's a single source of truth and your government can't, you know, like come and take it away from, they can still physically take it away from you, but everyone will know that the government shed your blood for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That right there to me is something I think can really be a great thing that's put on the blockchain. So once again, it's a network where everyone can get together.
Yeah, I'm excited actually about online art. I love the concept of actually certifying ownership, because right now, if you put up art, obviously I have this beautiful painting behind me. It's a cockroach that's holding a gun.
Right.
But the be the cockroach. But the I love the concept, just because it wasn't initially intuitive, but it could create an entirely new ecosystem for artwork, because you can say there is only one of this piece of artwork that is unique, and you can create a whole new marketplace. And I really genuinely are really excited about that. So to get not necessarily off the blockchain, but more onto entrepreneurship, you've been building things for a long time. Like today, what are your three priorities? What are the things that you are really like, I need to get this done? It is Friday at the end of the week. Like, I need to get this done. I need to get this done. I need to get this done.
Well, I mean, that happens. That changes from week to week. The overall goal and vision, the three things that we invest in. We invest in our people. We invest in network, right? And we invest in the technology and learning and actually like learning new things. Those are the three things that drive our entire company. people, network, and learning, like purely straight out. We are in too new of a space for us to act like we had it all together, right? For us to act like we know everything, right? And then when you get people, you have to find people, and we focus on basically aptitude and then experience. So you want people who are like, who have the attitude that they want to change the world and that they want to do really, really great things. And but then they also have to have the aptitude. You can't like go get a gorilla to come do this programming, right? You can't, gorilla might be a cool guy, but you can't get a gorilla to come do it. And then last of all, if they have experiences, it helps out. And then from the other side of that, it's the network. We believe that blockchains, if you don't have a network, there's no reason to even fool around with it. Networks are everything. Like building a network, making sure that you have this single source of truth that everyone can trust, and that you use that as a valuable resource to take out inefficiencies coming out to Silicon Valley and standing up and talking to you every single time that I possibly could, right? So
you didn't really say three things. You said like lots of like incomprehensible jibber jabber that didn't quite focus
Okay, three things by the end of the week.
No, just three things. Like, what is stressing you out right now that you're like, I need to like sort of accomplish?
That's what I'm saying. You know me, Adam. I'm not really a stress type dude. Nothing stresses me out, man. I mean, if you look at statistics, I ain't supposed to be here, baby. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not. I mean, I'm not stressed at all, man. Like, I'm not stressed at all.
Okay. You're freezing a little bit, but okay. For instance, like for me, I make like a couple things. Like, it's amazing that like you write down three things in a week, and like you might accomplish those three things,
right?
Because it's just like everything takes a really long time. So for me, right. It's like, okay, so I'm trying to set up a trip to the East Coast. Like, that's really important. I need to meet with a lot of people. Fundraising. Like, I'm saying that, and I am not soliciting right now. I have to be clear about that. But you know, like, that is something that I am definitely thinking about.
Yes.
And then the new tribe. Like, we're setting up a new session, and we're trying to make it all come together. And we're really focused on just getting really great people. And it's coming together well. But like, those are my like. It's not necessarily, those are my priorities. Like, it's not necessarily at the end of the week, but like, those are the things that in my head, when I'm talking to someone, those are the three things. I'm like, can you help me with one of these three things?
Do you have that? I got you now. Cause my three things list is like seven, but if you think about it, we want to talk to as many corporates as we possibly can. Right. Yeah. We're trying to get a corporate to use the system. We're already talking to banks. We're already running a pilot. The bank side, is pretty good, man. I mean, we know what we have. We actually have technology that works on a blockchain that we can demo, show people. And then finding great people. We are actually hiring right now, looking for really great people and thinking. And then the fourth thing would be thinking about fundraising, because we always believe that you don't put rocket fuel in an F-150. F-150 is a good vehicle. But when you start realizing what you have, when you start seeing that product market fit, then you need to go get the rocket fuel to make that thing take off. And so that's the fourth thing, right? But first of all, customer, period.
Customer.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to let you ask me a question if you want to ask me. Do you want to, like, I'm the host, and I always feel like I'm controlling it a little too much, like guiding the people down a rabbit hole. Is there anything that you want to know from me?
Okay. This is a big question, because I've seen this from several people. By focusing so heavily on very new technologies, have you found it difficult to keep the deal flow coming through, like keep enough companies coming through that are focused on these new up and coming types of technologies?
Great question and difficult one. So it's not necessarily difficult. It's like a lot of things that go into it. So just for listeners in thought process, like we identify new technologies, emerging technologies, and then we build communities around it. And at Boost VC, and then we invest in those communities. We invest in those startups and to help build the community even stronger. The question is it difficult to keep the deal flow going? So my quick answer is no and yes. There are, and I hate saying that because it's like, you know, so vague. But no because our application numbers are great. Like they continue to go up session over session. It's great. Like the numbers are great, but the opportunities in each industry, so blockchain and virtual reality, they change. And as they're changing, people get a little bit, entrepreneurs either like lose enthusiasm for the idea of working for the man, like in the case of the blockchain. Like essentially you were originally trying to bring down the banks, now everyone's working for the banks. And so like that sort of drives a couple of the like industry entrepreneurs away from the industry.
Right.
And then virtual reality, it's a very similar station. Like there's a very exciting, you know, Oculus got bought. Like there's a very, very exciting, like suddenly there was money in it. Their media companies are all over it. Like the entertainment industry is all over the place. But we really just want the best. And right. So like when you're looking for just the best, I will say like we have narrowed the scope of the person that we're letting into the program because we really just want the best. So that is my answer to that question. It's not necessarily that our application numbers are going down. It's that our filter gets higher as we get to know the industry better.
Right.
So that's what it would be.
Right.
As it becomes more like mainstream, like blockchain is just fintech now.
Yeah.
And virtual reality will be entertainment and computing at some point. So that's my thought process. Okay. Now, are you ready for the lightning round?
Yeah, man, let's go.
Okay. We got the lightning round coming up. I'm going to ask you a succession of questions and you just answer them as fast as you can or as deliberative as you want, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go fast. Let's go.
Okay, ready? Let's go fast. What's your favorite color?
Red.
What is a personal motto you live by?
Live, love, love, life.
That was really, really fast. What is your favorite famous quote?
Man, that's a rough one. You know what? It's a quote that everybody says. I love you.
You're like quoting the original human being. I appreciate that.
That's it, man.
So my actual, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's definitely one that always comes up in my life, especially in the entrepreneurial world, is first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. And it's a Gandhi quote, which it always comes up as entrepreneur, like, it defines an entrepreneur. Like you're 7 years into your company, they're fighting you. What is the defining moment in your life that led you really to who you are? Do you have one?
Man, I would probably say when I had my son at 19 and then I got married. I think
good answer. That made your wife made me appreciate that.
Made me change everything, bro.
Good.
Everything.
Good. If someone made a movie about your life, what actor would you want to play you?
Idris Elba, man. All day.
Who?
Idris Elba. Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Idris Elba.
Okay, what is your definition of success?
To be honest, it's really just to inspire people to love and to be free, man. Like straight up, if I can inspire the next person to love everybody and love each other and to also understand freedom is what's up, like I'll be successful. And sometimes people got to see you make a lot of money and all of that to even listen to you. So I'm out here trying to get this paper.
Okay, well, I'm going to end on that. That was a fantastic little bit. Thanks, Lamar, for coming today and joining the Boost BC podcast. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time for Mark Zuckerberg to come on.
Dang it.
But it was a pleasure talking with you, Lamar. Be sure to check out Fluent at fluent.network and catch our next episode next week. This is Adam Draper signing off.
Talk to you later, Adam, man.
Later.